Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 weeks ago is the last time we were here. We had Father's Day last Sunday, no evening service, and we really focused on 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. That's such a comforting passage, because we can get so frustrated, so discouraged with sin. I want to help you understand this. There is only one remedy, one solution for our sin. That is faith in the work of Christ. We cannot undo our sin. We cannot do so much good that erases our bad. Only Christ can, because he took our punishment. But then, after we're saved, we want to do what's right. This flesh never wants to do what's right. But we can overcome this flesh. There's no temptation taken us but such as is common to man. But then I love this, but God is faithful. So then we get to verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. Verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? We are going to partake, those of our membership tonight in the Lord's Supper, but this is what he's talking about. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Part of this is he's speaking real to them, because it appears that they would all, during the Lord's Supper, they would just pass this cracker unleavened, and they would break it and eat it. And so that was common practice in early days, what I understand at least. So look at verse 16 again. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. I think that's also referring to Christ. Behold Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? You're gonna see this is gonna be really helpful for us when you understand what he's getting to, what God's getting to. What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? The answer is no. Things offered to idols aren't anything. They're just wood, metal, stone, nothing. But while that is true, verse 19, the rhetorical question of no, idols aren't anything, or that which is offered to idols aren't anything, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. Interesting, he's bringing the communion and the fellowship of the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, and he's saying we better be careful that we don't have communion and fellowship with the devil. Verse 21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. I'm not going to really go into this tonight, but you could probably guess, those of you that know me, what I think the cup of devils is. And so, so, what's the devil's drink today? I don't think it's milk. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? I'm going to stop there. We'll see. All of it has such beautiful context, but if I had a cutoff point, that would be my cutoff point, maybe through verse 24, but let's just stop there. Title message, Wisdom That Loves and Edifies. Wisdom That Loves and Edifies. I want us to look at the first verse there, verse 14, flee idolatry. And this is so important. It's not just idols, though our world is dominated still with idols, right? We had the Taube family here on Wednesday, and I did not know this. I learned something about Hinduism. I want to see if you all, and I did not know, so I had a Bible study for 16 weeks with a Hindu, and I pounded on sin. Hindus don't think they sin. Did you ever heard that before? That's the first time I'd ever heard that, and so he lives in Hindu land. Right, 82% of the people that he ministers to are Hindus, and it is So he said, they don't believe they sin. It sort of then, my mind is turning at the Bible study that I had with that young man. And I don't remember that resistance, but that was kind of great insight, right? Great insight. So yes, there are still idols of metal. I mean, Hinduism, it's untold. And they do pick a god that they'll focus on. Many of them name their children after gods. You know, I mean, so we have a friend named Ram who has a daughter named Gauri, a son named Ishwar. Those are all Hindu gods. And I don't know what all they stand for, but Ram is a famous one. And so flee idolatry. And so I'm going to tell you the context of this passage is, in essence, saying that fellowship with the world is idolatry and, if you will, contamination of the body. And so bear with me. I'm going to show you this that says when we have communion and we are, you know, each independent autonomous church is a complete functioning body of Christ, that when we have communion and fellowship with evil, we are contaminating the body that we're a part of. But let's just look at the flee idolatry. And so he enters this in, wherefore, my beloved brethren, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. He's telling this, you can overcome sin. And so let's just look at a few verses. You know, overall, idolatry is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Anything that we put ahead of God is idolatry. It is amazing to me, I've said this in the past, that we actually have a show that's super popular called American Idol. And we don't bat an eye at it, that's probably not a program that I should really enjoy. And who's the idol? The performers. The winners. We worship them. And the winners get rich because we think that's the ultimate nirvana. Get rich. And the devil is just pumping that into our homes all the time. So anything we put ahead of God, but look at this. This is the issue with America, Colossians 3. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon earth. Again, that's talking about our flesh. Fornication, these are physical inappropriateness with the other gender. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, those are all sexual sins. And covetousness, which is idolatry. Look, covetousness is where we long for what we don't have. We saw that in Exodus 20. It goes through an entire list that is your life focused on what you don't have, or in whatsoever state I am, therewith I will be content. That's the message of the Bible. But just so you know this, and you sense this, it's when we are covetous, we make ourselves slaves to the merchandise or slaves to whatever it is, right? He said, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Oh, you'll become a slave. You know, when you're married and you try to sneak around, oh, you'll become a slave to that, and it will destroy you. And every single person in this room, you will be found out. Sometimes it takes 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. Be sure your sins will find you out. Now that verse in Numbers chapter 32 is sins of omission. You don't do what God says, be sure your sins will find you out. But there's also, be not deceived, God is not mocked, right? It is covetousness. That's our issue of idolatry. But I also take you to Romans chapter 1. Flee idolatry. And so look at this, Romans chapter 1. He says, these are talking about people that have rejected God. They had the knowledge of the truth, but they reject God. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They served and worshipped the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. We're moving into football season. And I just tell you this, this was written 2,000 years ago. So he says that man will change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. I don't think in 30 AD that they had all of these, like the Georgia Bulldogs, the Cincinnati Bearcats, the Cincinnati Bengals, right? And I mean, Bill's feeling spiritual here because it's the Ohio State Buckeyes. But, I mean, that's the dumbest. Bill's like, that ain't on the list. That's birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Go Buckeyes, right? But it is, do you see that? Do we not worship these four-footed creatures? Is that just crazy? And not only that, there's more protections for animals in the United States than there are the unborn. It's so ridiculous. I can get arrested, fined, jailed if I damage an egg of a bald eagle. Now, I ought to respect the bald eagle, but I'll tell you this. I would rather be seen on a video smashing an egg of a bald eagle than participating in the abortion of one of God's creatures that he's created in his own image. But I'll tell you, not a hesitation from so many of our, we need to love people that are wrong. Amen? I can get upset about it, but I'm telling you, so I need to back off. I need to be kind. Because I'm going to tell you this, even in a crowd this size tonight, there may be somebody here and you've had an abortion. I love this. That's how good Jesus is. He will forgive us of murder. You're not less than. Give it over to Christ. Because there can be anguish. There can be struggles. Just like all of us will struggle with past sins. I do tell you that Christ will forgive. I need to preach the truth that if you do the baby-making thing and you get pregnant, then you need to trust God that he's the giver of life. You follow me? Period. And we're going to love you, I'll tell you this, we are going to love people that blow it. We're going to. We're going to be kind about it, we're never to shame people, and we want to help people. We want to celebrate life even when the circumstances are not godly. But I will tell you this, in our world today, we worship everything but God. If you don't think we're being influenced by the world, so be very careful. What is it that you're immersing yourself into? He says, flee idolatry, flee idolatry. Second thought I want you to see is we cannot commune with God and the devil. Now, this is going to be, I'm going to take you actually through verse 23. My typist messed up there, but let's begin with verse 25. He says, I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. Alberto, let me give you a little heads up. This passage was for you tonight. So, the overthinkers, okay? It's so beautiful, right? And I love this. Thinkers are good, right? So he's going to tell us in one instance, so whether I get there tonight or not, he's going to say, it's going to be for you, Albert, so let me just get there. He says, I speak as to wise men, judge what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Now, Paul's saying we here, this doesn't change anything that he's speaking to the church at Corinth. They're one body. And so Paul is speaking to them as the founding missionary. I'm just telling you this, whether they've been organized independently, he could speak we in that way. He could speak we in a number of ways. He's not speaking of some universal body. He's not. You're going to see that throughout the whole context. But he's talking to them this. He's saying this, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. He's talking this, and so this is where I get the thought that when we fellowship, when we have communion with evil, with the things of the devil, that we contaminate the body that we're part of. I want you to understand this. I believe this wholeheartedly as a pastor. Every time one of you fail, I'm like, it's my fault. I know, but I think some of that could be true. Do you understand that? Yes, you have personal accountability, but I mean, I, just as a dad, right? Just as a dad, when my kids fail, I'm like, Deb needed to do better. No. But no, when my kids fail, I take it personally. I need to love them and be kind. I need to be gentle. But I'll tell you this, it's not too much of a stretch when our kids fail to go back and figure out how you failed, is it? It's not. I tell you this, when we fail, we affect the body. Those of you that are members of Hope Baptist Church, understand this. Your sin not only affects you, not only your family, it affects your church. Sin's that crazy. Sin's that spiritual. I mean, I tell you all the time, sin's killing the trees. You don't think it can affect the body that you're a part of? But it's sweet communion. Now, I want you to understand this. This is one of the great purposes of the Lord's Supper. You'll hear it called communion. That term is used right here. That is fellowship with Christ tonight. And I tell folks this, it's for the membership of Hope Baptist Church. That's not to be mean, or it's what we believe, that it's for a specific body of Christ. And so the older I get, the more conversations I have, the more people that don't like it, the more I am convinced it's the right thing, just from the Bible. It's that special, it's that holy, and it's that wonderful. And to water it down in any way that says I can just hop, skip, and jump anywhere I want and take the Lord's Supper seems like it's kind of like laissez-faire. Huh. Wherever I want. And let me tell you this. I love this. You guys know this. You better be here on the last Sunday of the quarter. Or, boom! You got to wait another 3 months. It's kind of why I like having once a quarter. It's a big deal. I love it. I love seeing faces that I don't always see on Sunday morning because it's a big deal. But it's communion with your Savior. What's the communion in? His suffering. We're going to see this. Look at this. Just keep watching, right? And so look at verse 15. He then brings up the Old Testament example of the sacrifices in the Old Testament. Behold, Israel after the flesh. So he's talking about unsaved Israel, you know, when he says that. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? Because there were certain sacrifices that you would eat part of the sacrifice. And he's saying this. He's saying when they did, the purpose of God was to involve them in that sacrifice, was to involve them in that fellowship or that communion or that joining in with that sacrifice to understand, I need to embrace what is going on here. He says, verse 19, what say I then, that the idol is anything? Or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? He's saying, I'm not saying what's offered to idols is anything, but I will tell you this, it can contaminate you. Then he's going to say some things that'll be good. All right, follow me? Follow me so far? Now, he says this, verse, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God, and I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. Here's just the simple truth, and we're going to talk about very specific. We ought not to fellowship with the things of the devil. We ought not to partake in the things of the devil. I'm speaking to Christians. It is, see, if a lost person listened to this message, they could leave and say, well, I can't do this, 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 I need to do this, I need to do this, I need to do this. That is not what Christianity is about. This is helping us understand, because the devil is so deceitful. He's so subtle. He's been about this for 6,000 years. And we need to have it brought to our forefront that says this, am I doing something that is fellowshipping with the devil, fellowshipping with darkness that will be sin and then ultimately cause contamination to this body? So he says, look at verse 20, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God, and I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of the devils. This, while this is talking about, you're going to see in more context, with you know what you're doing. That's what he's talking about. You know you shouldn't. You know you're partaking with the things of the devil. And oh, Christian, you ought not to do that. And it's just not. You know I shouldn't do this. It's great ramifications. Look at what it says in verse 22. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? It's the last thing you want to do. Because when we are partaking with communion or fellowship with the things of darkness, with the things of the devil, we could provoke the Lord to jealousy. Are we stronger than He? No. Verse 23. All things are lawful for me. So he said this. You know what? But all things are not expedient. Ooh, this is good. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. He says, you know, I could eat that. Because things offered to idols aren't anything, but it's not helpful. It doesn't build up. It is really unimportant. And here's a key. It's not about us. Look at verse 24. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. We need to be thinking about others before we indulge in sin. You see, or not even sin. We need to think about others before we indulge in something that can hurt another brother or sister. And so he's saying this. Now, this is what I love about this. Look at verse 25 to 27. So I am going to get through this. I'm going a little faster. I'm trying to. This is, Alberto, this is the pay attention part, these next two sections, okay? And Alberto, the only reason I'm calling you out, because you can handle it, I got about 20 Albertos in our church, okay? And so people that just love to think and make my head hurt, right, sometimes. And so you all know who you are. You hear the giggling? It's like this. I can't even look up because I'll start, like, looking at people. And I love thinkers. I love thinkers. You know what I mean by that? These people that's just like, I'm always thinking. I'm always thinking. They go to sleep with one eye open going like, just in case I don't want to miss anything. Right? And it's like, okay, good. I'm so glad I can sleep. You know, the last time I remember a dream? Decades. My wife tells me about her dreams and I'm like, I don't want to hear it. It's like, did I kill you? No? Okay, good night. And, you know, so I just want to see what she's, you know, as long as I'm not like, I'm chasing her or something. Right? Anyway, verse 25. First, look at verse 24. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth, right? Philippians 2, I'm not going to go through that. We go through that often, right? It talks about that all the time. Let's esteem other better than ourselves. But look at verse 25. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles or in the meat market, okay? Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. All right, so he says this. So Alberto, here's what this is, right? So here's what it'd be. After those verses in this, you'd be like, oh, good grief. I don't want to eat any meat offered to these idols. And so you'd go to the meat market. What about this piece? What about this piece? What about this piece? You know what God says? You know what? Don't ask, eat. What he says? The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. He's going to use that same statement in the exact opposite, so you have to deal with it. Okay? He said this. He said, just eat it. It's because you don't have to go do a full-fledged investigation. Go buy the meat at the market, asking no question for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now look at verse 27. And if any of them that believe not bid you to a feast and you be disposed to go, whatsoever set before you, asking no question, eat. He says, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. So he said this. So you can see this. You can see where it's like, I don't want to have communion with the devil. Remember, it's with knowledge. You follow me? And so he says, hey, look, this is such a balance of Scripture. You don't want to partake of the things of the devil. Amen? But he said this. You'll know if you are. And if you know, don't partake. But you could just get all bent out of shape and you could go to somebody's house. They say, Steve, come on over for steak. You'd be like, and where did this steak come from? And he said, don't ask, eat. That's kind of a missionary motto, isn't it? What is ever placed before you, eat. Looks a lot like a monkey to me, I'm sure, you know. I mean, whatever they placed for me, one mission trip we ate, oh boy. And the other missionaries were so mad when they found out that they gave us pig brain. We paid the price. We had a little place, one toilet. Trying to be chivalrous, I let my wife have the toilet first. I'm laying on the floor. And I thought they would find me, not blood oozing out of my ears and nose, but I thought my large intestine was going to explode. There was one point, okay, TMI, I told Deb, I said, either you finish, I'm hitting the shower. And so I had the old missionary motto, whatever they place before me, eat. Let me just tell you this, pig brains, they are awesome on the way in. And they were tasty, my friend, but didn't bode well with neither of us. We'll never forget that moment. There was much more that went on, but I'm not going to go and tell you that. But it was, here's what he's saying. You don't want to partake in the things of the devil. You don't want to have fellowship and communion with the things of the devil. And he was particularly dealing with meat that was offered to idols. But he said this, hey, when you go to the market, you can get meat and you don't have to do a forensic study. Somebody asks you over for dinner, you just eat. Then he says this, if you know, don't eat. Verse 28. But, like, here we go, Alberto. All right, this is key. Here's what I want you to know this. This is so beautiful for you. You don't have to figure it out. God will let you know. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Eat the meat until God has somebody tell you, this is meat offered to idols. And you go, then you don't eat it. You follow me? But you could get all stressed out, couldn't you? And you'd be like, how will I know? God will let you know. How do I know God will let me know? Just trust the Lord, right? You don't have, is that comforting? You better say yes. All right, verse 28. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not, don't eat it, for his sake that showed it. Again, you could eat it, but you have to think of somebody else's conscience and somebody and the impact on somebody else. It's not like that meat is, it's totally mental, and there's some spiritual components to it. But he said, look, but if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And he says that everything's the Lord's. So he says there's a certain point where don't ask and eat. There's another point where it says, if you know, don't eat, glorify God. That's the balance of Scripture. It reminds me of that passage. I just wrote it down here. Proverbs 26:4, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. The very next verse, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. There's a time where you don't answer a fool, and there's a time where you answer a fool. There's a time where you don't eat the meat, and there's a time where it's okay to eat the meat. And God will let you know that. You follow me? That's the beautiful thing. Now, there's also then what we are in the world of Christians are doing things they know they shouldn't do. That's not what I'm talking about here tonight. I'm talking about for those areas that you're like, you know, I think this is okay, but I'm not sure, and just don't fret about it. But there's a lot of areas that Christians are encroaching on today that just, it's ungodly. Here's what I tell you to do. Ask somebody. Nobody asks me. Ask me and I'll give you my thoughts, and then you've got to trust the Lord, right? So, look, he says, look at verse 29. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For what is my, why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? He says, I've got to take into account the conscience of the others. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? Because he's going to come to this. He's going to come to this, right? And here's what he says. For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Is he saying this? Why am I being spoken evil of when I gave thanks, asked the Lord to bless it, and it doesn't matter because it was just an idol that has no power, no eyes, no anything. But he says this then, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Then this is important. I forgot I was going to show you this entire passage. This is a great passage. We're going to go through this passage quickly before I close. I was almost getting ready to close. This passage is the best cross-reference to 1 Corinthians 10. You should write this in your Bible, for Romans 14, verse 12 through 21. Romans 14, 12 through 21, I'm not even going to have to preach it that much. It's that good. And so, not that I have to preach the Bible because the Bible's that good everywhere. Okay, yes, get correct. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Boy, that's a statement. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. One thing you don't want to do is cause another brother, another sister in Christ to sin. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. You know, the Jews had all this list of, and it's from the Bible, clean and unclean animals. And in all reality, there's nothing unclean. And so here's what he says. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean, right? That's why it's not a problem for you to eat pork. You know, if you've secretly thought you've been like, and I love bacon, right? You're allowed to eat bacon. God had that Levitical diet for them to separate them from the world so that he would have a nation separated unto him. And there's some physical benefits to it as well. But he says this, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean in of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably or in love. If your brother is bothered by something you should do, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness. This is what we ought to be about. We ought to be about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify one another. We saw that early in 1 Corinthians. For meat, destroy not the work of God. Don't say, I can, and so up your nose with a rubber hose, I'm going to do it anyway. No, what the Bible says is take into account others. For meat, destroy not the work of God. All things are indeed pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. You see? Not that any of the meat was wrong, but if it hurts your brother, you are doing evil, and you're eating with offense. It is neither good to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. I love this passage, right? So anybody that I talk to about alcohol, I take them to this passage, and I say, I'm offended when you drink. So you should stop, according to this verse. No one's ever had a response. You can't. You could imagine who I've told this to. People I love dearly. And I've said it once, and I'm done. Here's the principle. It's this. We're going to go back to this final thought. Remember, it's about souls. Not only lost souls, but saved souls. You see, it's about the glory of Christ. We see that in verse 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now look at verse 32. I'm back in Romans. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. That's a big deal. Offending the church is not good. Even as I please all men in all things, and seeking mine own profit, not seeking mine own profit, excuse me, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. You see, we're about to celebrate the 250th anniversary in America. Being an American is a great blessing. Let me start there. Being an American can be a spiritual curse, because we're all about freedom. My rights. No, it's Christ's glory. And I need to esteem others better than myself, not my rights. You know, it's great. Paul leveraged his rights as a Roman citizen. But when Paul was doing right, he never put Paul ahead of Christ. He never put Paul ahead of people. It's the simple truth here. Remember what we started with. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. You and I can overcome sin. When we don't, we fellowship with the devil. We contaminate not only our bodies, our families, but the body of Christ that you're a part of. It is in all things that we do, you ought to consider, how will this affect my family? How will this affect other believers? I think of it all the time. I want to die And I don't want Elia or Callum or Xenia or Cliff and soon to be named baby. I don't want them to have to go, well, yeah, my papa was a preacher, but he blew it. I want them to think that Christ was real and they can do it. They can do it. If I blow it, I need to humble myself, serve the Lord. It may not mean I can serve the Lord in the same capacity. But you see, I'm not an island, nor are you. My life, your life, impacts more than you could ever imagine. He is worthy. Remember what the title was? I started with the title, Wisdom That Loves and Edifies. I could have said wisdom that is charitable and builds up. Wisdom. Do we have wisdom that we're living for the glory of Christ to edify and build up others, and that my life would be a life that is non-offensive? I'll tell you one final story. My daughter and I have a little agreement going on. This is top secret. My wife doesn't know about this. But that's nothing new. She hears about things all the time from the pulpit. I told you in Sunday school that I was talking to one of my kids, and one of my other kids had disdain, and you could feel it toward another. They love each other, but you could feel the disdain, right? And in the middle of me saying, well, that's just not right, I said, oh, that's how I treat your mother. And so Abigail, we have this pact now. She's not to correct me in front of you. I'm too immature to handle that. Okay, so there's a little bit of boundaries. But I told her this. I said, Abigail, you keep me accountable. I want to change the spirit that I have toward my wife. Because you know how this is. We've been married 37 years. I can take her for granted, and I can speak to her like I would not speak to anybody else. And it's not like, it's subtle, but it's terrible. You know that. I'd be like, Bart! I've asked her to hold me accountable. You know why? You know who's more important to me than anybody in this room? First me. you too, right? Okay, you love yourself more than anybody in this room. But second her. How dare I show you charity, show you kindness, and not her? I just tell you this. Bring a message like this home. I don't want to hurt the body of Christ. But I'll tell you this. I don't want to hurt the woman that God gave me. You pray for me that I would treat her like the woman that I love. Remember, I told you this morning, and then I'm done. How you think of God will affect how you serve Him. How I think of her will affect the choices I make that I might not offend her. Anybody that's married would understand, sometimes I'm like, big deal. Get over it. That's not right. Let's live life for the honor of Christ. Glorify Him in public. Glorify Him in private. He's worth it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word.